Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, November 2nd. Early voting tops pace from 2019. Ballot in 2019 also featured a most expensive bond in Midland's history, $569 million, compared to $1.4 billion this fall. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The number of people participating in early voting during the current election inside Midland County is ahead of the pace set in 2019. The November ballot in 2019 also featured a most expensive bond in Midland's history, $569 million, compared to the $1.4 billion this fall. Reporter-Telegram coverage in 2019 showed 10,764 votes cast throughout the county through the second Wednesday of the early voting period. At the end of the day this Wednesday, Midland County election officials reported 11,287 ballots cast either in person or by mail. Midland ISD and pro-bond officials have hoped for a large turnout. Midland ISD Superintendent Stephanie Howard, in a letter sent out to MISD parents, stated, quote, "History tells us that fewer than 10% of registered voters will vote in an election such as this. We are hoping for 100% parent turnout in this election." End quote. In 2019, 29% of all registered voters across the county voted. That included 15,266 early votes prior to Election Day and 23,631 votes cast for Midland ISD Proposition A, which failed by 25 votes. Midland County Elections Office personnel stated Wednesday that just less than 95% of the voters through Tuesday had cast ballots in non-Greenwood ISD precincts or those eligible to count in the MISD race. The elections office website shows 95% of all voters who cast a ballot in 2019 voted in the bond election. This election cycle does include a Greenwood ISD bond election, a Midland ISD special election, and state propositions. In 2019, there were state propositions and city council races, including a mayoral contest between Patrick Payton, Jerry Morales, and Jenny Cudd. Early voting locations. Elections Office, Midland County Annex Building, 2100 North A Street. Centennial Library, 2503 West Loop 250 North. Cogdale Learning Center, 201 West Florida Avenue. Fairmont Park Church of Christ, 3813 North Midland Drive. Village at Manor Park, Margaret Cowden Clubhouse, Sparks Great Room, 5212 Sinclair Avenue. Early voting hours for all locations, Thursday and Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Early ballots cast, Monday, 933, Tuesday, 1,288, Wednesday, 1,218, Thursday, 1,102, Friday, 1,626, Saturday, 1,074, Sunday, 350, Monday, 1,094, Tuesday, 1,111, Wednesday, 1,237. Mail ballots received, 254. Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, November 6th. Midland man killed in a wreck on Friday. A 28-year-old Midland man was killed Friday morning in a three-vehicle crash 10 miles west of Garden City. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a preliminary investigation showed Edward Scott Abendroth Jr. rear-ended a 26-year-old Florida man as both were driving trucks with trailers east on State Highway 158. He was pronounced dead at the scene. A Peterbilt truck that was hauling 120 cattle was struck by debris from the crash, and the driver lost control and his vehicle rolled, DPS stated. 44 of the cows died. Neither the Florida driver or the driver hauling cattle, a 34-year-old man from Odessa, were hurt. Proposed acquisitions face heat on Capitol Hill. Schumer, Democrats, urge probe of Exxon Pioneer Chevron deals. The story was written by Emily Birnbaum and Leah Nyland from Bloomberg. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is urging the U.S. Federal Trade Commission to look into whether ExxonMobil Corporation and Chevron Corporation's proposed oil and gas acquisitions could violate antitrust laws. Schumer, in a letter on Wednesday, said Exxon's proposed $60 billion acquisition of Pioneer Natural Resources Company and Chevron's proposed $53 billion acquisition of Hess Corporation, two of the largest oil and gas deals of this century, are, quote, likely to harm competition, unquote. Quote, should the FTC determine that these mergers would violate antitrust law, we urge you to oppose them, Schumer wrote in the letter to FTC Chair Lina Khan. Other Democrats who signed the letter include Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut, Cory Booker of New Jersey, Tammy Duckworth of Illinois, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania, and Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Schumer's outreach marks the highest-profile opposition to the deals on Capitol Hill so far. In the letter, Schumer cited concerns that the pair of the acquisitions could harm consumers by driving up gas prices, a particularly concerning dynamic as most Americans who rely on their cars cannot choose to stop paying for gas. Exxon said in a statement that it will account for just 5% of U.S. oil production even after completing its proposed takeover of Pioneer. Quote, this merger represents nothing but upside for our economy and our environment, given that ExxonMobil has the resources to get more out of the ground and do it at vastly improved emissions levels, the company said. Chevron did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The deals could significantly alter the U.S. oil and gas landscape. Chevron's acquisition of Hess will give the company a large foothold in Guyana, the South American country that is one of the world's newest oil producers. And Exxon's acquisition of Pioneer will enable the company to become the dominant producer of shale oil, solidifying the U.S. oil company's hold on the Western Hemisphere's most prolific oil field, the Permian Basin. Schumer asked the FTC to consider, quote, how Exxon's or Chevron's vertically integrated operations may harm American competition in any national or regional market, end quote. The White House, in 2021, urged the FTC to scrutinize deals in the oil and gas sector. The agency has since slowed down the approval of smaller oil and gas mergers, but it hasn't sued to prevent an acquisition in the sector for years. Apartment rent growth in Midland outpaces inflation. Report finds year-over-year increase in average apartment is 15.3%. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The average price of an apartment in Midland actually dropped in October. ApartmentList.com showed in its national rent report showed a 0.4% decrease in October in Midland. The slight drop was a bump in the road during a period when the yearly increase in Midland and Odessa have led the state and nation. ApartmentList.com reported the year-over-year increase in Midland is 15.3%. Odessa's yearly increase is 13%. The monthly increase in Odessa was 0.9%. A different online listing website, Apartments.com, recently reported Midland and Odessa among 10 markets across the U.S. where rent growth is outpacing inflation. Odessa ranked first, and Midland ranked second. Rounding out the top five were Decatur, Illinois, Goldsboro, North Carolina, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. No other Texas cities were included in Apartment.com's 10 cities. Returning to the ApartmentList.com report, the website showed the average one-bedroom rent in Midland was $924, and the average two-bedroom was $1,158. Both averages in Midland ranked second among the West Texas communities listed: Midland, Odessa, Amarillo, San Angelo, and Abilene. Only Amarillo showed higher average rents, $965 and $1,202. Rents in Odessa were the lowest of the five communities, $756 and $996. ApartmentList.com also showed rents in Midland also trailed larger cities across the state, including Austin, $1,706, Dallas, $1,436, Fort Worth, $1,304, Houston, $1,291, and San Antonio, $1,288. Across the nation, the rent decline in October was 0.7% to $1,354. Year-over-year rents dropped 1.2%. The rent report also showed 81 of the nation's largest 100 cities saw prices fall month over month, and 66 of these cities are down year over year. Rents in West Texas. One bedroom, Amarillo, $965. Midland, $924. San Angelo, $922. Abilene, $828. Odessa, $756. Two-bedroom apartments. Amarillo, $1,202. Midland, $1,158. San Angelo, $1,133. Abilene, $1,059. Odessa, $996. Source, ApartmentList.com. Midland Independent School District says kindergarten through third grade fall behind previous years in math and reading. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The Reporter-Telegram, moving forward, will help with the awareness of the district's attempt to meet its Lone Star governance goals. During a September Midland ISD school board meeting, Midland ISD officials stated they wanted the public to know Lone Star Governance has helped provide the community more information about Midland ISD's transformation. The following are Midland ISD's Lone Star Governance Measures 1.2, 2.2, 1.3, 2.3 that were reported to the school board in October. 1.2, K through 2nd reading. percentage of students who meet or exceed their individual growth goals in reading, as measured by NWEA-MAP, will increase from 40% to 70% by the end of school year 2026. 2023 through 2024, end-of-year target 60%. Grade 1. Reading in fall of 2021, 65. Grade 1, reading fall 2022, 72. Grade 1, reading fall 2023, 56. Grade 2, reading fall 2021, 42. Grade 2, reading fall 2022, 52. And grade 2, reading fall 2023, 36. 2.2. Third grade math. The percentage of kindergarten through second grade students who meet or exceed their individual growth goals in math, as measured by NWEA-MAP, will increase from 47% to 70% by the end of school year 2026. 2023-2024 end-of-year target goal, 58%. Grade 1, math fall of 2021, 60. Grade 1, math fall of 2022, 69. Grade 1, math fall 2023, 55. Grade 2, math fall 2021, 47. Grade 2, math fall 2022, 55. Grade 2, math fall 2023, 56. 1.3. Third grade reading. The percentage of third grade students who demonstrate grade level mastery by scoring at the meets grade level or above on a star aligned district reading assessment will increase from 36% to 50% by the end of school year 2026. 2023-2024 end of year target goal is 44%. Fall of 2021, 36%. Fall of 2022, 41%. Fall of 2023, 34%. Third grade math. The percentage of third grade students who demonstrate grade level mastery by scoring at the meets grade level or above on a star aligned district reading assessment will increase from 36% to 50% by the end of school year 2026. 2023-2024 end-of-year target goal, 40%. Fall 2021, 32%. Fall 2022, 30%. Fall 2023, 29%. Three things to do in Midland this weekend. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. Christmas Village Market. More than 100 vendors will set up shop at the third annual Christmas Village Market at the Horseshoe on Friday through Sunday. Attendees can enjoy a mimosa or a signature drink while they shop. The market will open from 1 to 8 p.m. Friday. On Saturday, the market will last from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Sunday, the market will run from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Vendors will sell Christmas gifts, including clothing, jewelry, knives, furniture, toys, books, home decor, and sauces, according to Matt Hustle Events. Attendees can visit with Santa Claus and the Grinch throughout the event. There will also be a painting class and a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation Costume Contest at 2 p.m. Saturday. A silent auction will benefit Dog Rescues RS. Rescue Runners. According to the City of Midland website, Rescue Runners is a volunteer program designed to help walk or run shelter dogs. Rescue runners meet the first and third Saturday of each month. This outing allows for the dogs to showcase their personality outside the kennel, which fosters adoption and fostering opportunities. Volunteers aged 15 and older can participate as long as underage volunteers have a parental guardian on the route. C.S. Lewis on stage, Further Up and Further In. According to the Wagner Noel, the producers of the Screwtape Letters will bring a theatrical experience to the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center that takes the audience into the spiritual journey of Chronicles of Narnia author C.S. Lewis. Quote, when Lewis came to faith in 1931, it wasn't obvious how that journey would unfold. Why did the BBC suddenly give him a national audience to deliver unprecedentedly popular radio talks that would become mere Christianity? How did Hitler's devious charm influence the writing of the Screwtape Letters? Why was Lewis such an effective apologist and evangelist to skeptics? Was it prayer? Was it his expectation of the second coming? Or his profoundly deep longing for heaven? Using Lewis's own words within a vividly immersive multimedia experience, award-winning actor Max MacLean takes you further up and further in the mind and heart of one of the most imaginative and gifted writers in history, the Wagner Noel website states. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, November 2nd. Billy Francis Horn Perkins, aged 83 of Midland, passed away at her home on October 30th. Billy was born December 26, 1939, in Harlan, Kentucky, to Frank and Vivian Horn. In 1959, she married Curtis T. Perkins in El Paso, Texas. Billy was preceded in death by her parents, Vivian and Frank Horn, two brothers, Tommy Horn and Joe Horn, and a lifelong dear friend, Norma Calder. Left to mourn her passing are her three children, Jennifer Frederick of Barberville, Kentucky, Sandra Earle and husband Mike of Jasper, Alabama, and Michael Perkins of Midland, Texas, as well as several grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. A celebration of life for Billy will be held Saturday, November 4th, at the Branch at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home, 3800 North Big Spring Street in Midland, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Shirley Ray Orr Smith, a devoted wife, mother, and mentor, passed away on October 29th. Upon graduating from Odessa High School in 1955, Shirley began working at KMID-TV, where she met her husband of 67 years, Frank Morris Smith. They remained in Midland until 1966, at which time Frank's career took them on a journey that would have them living in several places around the world, until they returned to Midland in 2005. Shirley is survived by her son, Lonzo Smith, and wife, Deborah, and her daughter, Lori Smith Weckworth, and husband, Jim, who carry forward her values and spirit. Shirley is also survived by grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Frank Smith, her husband of 67 years, preceded Shirley in death by 21 days. A memorial service to celebrate Shirley's life will be held on November 4th at 4 p.m. at the Ortloff Room in the clubhouse at Manor Park, 2208 North Loop 250 West in Midland, 79707. In lieu of flowers, the family kindly requests donations be made to Manor Park Incorporated at the address above or at www.manorparkinc.org. Here is the Dear Abby column as it appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, November 2nd. Holidays become less fun with in-laws around. Dear Abby, my daughter's in-laws have no place to go on holidays. They have two children, but haven't spoken to one of them in several years, so my son-in-law is their only family close by. I enjoy entertaining and having family over, but I really don't care for their company. It's a different vibe when they're here because her father-in-law, Sam, and my husband drink too much and talk politics, both activities I avoid. They know how I feel, but make comments behind my back, thinking I don't hear them. My husband loves their company and goes out often with my son-in-law and Sam. My daughter understands how I feel. She doesn't like to cook or entertain, but will host a holiday once in a while. However, it doesn't solve the problem because I end up doing a lot of the work and I miss not entertaining in my own home. Please advise. Signed, Catch 22 in New York. Dear Catch 22, I'm not sure why you feel it's your responsibility to entertain your daughter's in-laws on every holiday. Discuss this with your husband, when he's sober, and tell him you don't like it when he and Sam get drunk, talk politics, and make snide remarks behind your back. Inform him he should be more respectful, or the in-laws won't be invited to your home for the holidays anymore. Nowhere in your letter did you mention your daughter's mother-in-law. Do you have anything in common with her? If so, spend most of your time with her and your daughter, or, once the meal has been served, ask them if they'd like to go out to a movie, get some exercise, etc. That way you won't be forced to stick around when the boys over-imbibe and indulge themselves in their favorite subject. Dear Abby, recently my current husband went on a fishing trip with my brother. My brother was drinking and confided to him that my ex-husband cheated on me. My brother was present when it happened. I was shocked, to say the least. I felt so betrayed by both. I can't believe my brother would keep this secret from me, but my ex-husband has some dirt on my brother as well. I sent my brother a text telling him how upset I am about his having kept that secret from me. Had I known the truth, it could have changed my life in so many ways. He wants to talk about it with me, but I'm not interested in doing that right now. I don't know if I can get past this. Can you advise if I'm doing the right thing? Signed, Betrayed in California. Dear Betrayed, I understand why you are furious, and it might be better if you don't discuss this with your brother until you have had a chance to cool down. While it's logical that you might not be able to trust your brother again, I do think that at some point you should hear him out. Once you have done that, you will be in a better position to decide whether you want to have a relationship.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.